Hebrews chapter 4. And we're just going to read verses 1 through 11 this morning. Verses 1 through 11. Follow along with me if you would. The writer of Hebrews says, "Let us therefore fear, lest any promise being left of us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on the wise. And God did rest on the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore, it remaineth that some must enter therein. And they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief."
Welcome to Walk in the Spirit, an expository teaching of God's Word with Pastor Colin Deathridge. Walk in the Spirit is the audio outreach ministry of Pocatello Baptist Church. It is our prayer and desire that with the help of this message, we will all learn to walk in the Spirit. Filling in today for Pastor Deathridge is Brother Brian Griffin.
I'm going to start by reading the first five verses of our text this morning. If you'll follow along with me, verses 1 through 5 of chapter 4 of Hebrews. Maybe I'll read a little bit smoother this time. It says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works that were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on the wise. And God did rest on the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest." This morning, the bulk of what I want to talk about is resting. Now, the rest we're going to speak about is not the rest that a lot of times we think of when we think of rest. Although there's many aspects to rest. A lot of us just got done with a good night's rest. And we woke up this morning feeling refreshed and rested. But the rest that the Spirit is expressly speaking to us about this morning is a rest that far surpasses anything of a temporal nature. Now, this morning, Shauna and I drove back from Boise. We stayed there last night and we got up way too early in the morning. In my opinion, earlier than I ever normally get up, unless I'm actually going to do something like fun, to drive back here. Now, don't get me wrong, we wanted to be here with you, and that's why we did that, and we love the opportunity to come here and serve. But we got up this morning, and you know, we kept seeing the weather reports. Oh, you know, there's going to be some snow, maybe, and stuff. You know, we're in Boise, right? But no, Boise's like the banana belt of Idaho, is it not? And so, I mean, what they consider snow there usually is rain here. Right? And so we're like, oh, not a big deal. So we went to bed without a concern or a worry on our mind necessarily about that until Sean decided to wake up at 1:30 in the morning and look outside. And let us all know, that let me and Jaden know, who she also woke up just by chance, not on purpose, that there was snow outside. Now, I honestly thought she was joking to me, but, you know, okay, all right, that's fine. Well, we got in our vehicle to start coming home this morning, and there was snow. She was not lying. We started to drive out of Boise, and it was just one of those snows that, it's not that it necessarily scary to drive in, because it wasn't like it was slick necessarily, but it was one of those ones that you just kind of feel your car's almost riding on top of, you know, and it's almost that slushy, yet it wants to pack the minute your tires hit it kind of snow. And of course, you know, in Boise, at any hour of the day, apparently, there are too many people on the street. And we were all traveling in the same direction, apparently. And so, in addition to having to deal with that, you have to deal with what's coming off the other vehicles and blowing onto yours and off their tires and things of that nature. Now, I know that each one of us who are old enough to have driven, or if you've ever paid attention when you're riding with somebody, have had this experience. And let's just be honest, it's nerve-wracking, right? Now, I, as the man in my household, because I am a man, right? I try to act all tough. Oh, that's nothing. Coffee in the one hand, right? No, actually, I didn't have coffee until twin, which was another problem. Okay? But we won't go down that path this morning. But, you know, I'm trying to be tough, and I'm trying to act like I'm something special, and I'm like, oh, this is nothing, honey, no worries, you know. And as I'm pulling around to pass, because for some reason it never fails, there's that safe speed where you know you're comfortable at, right? But for some reason there's always one person who's inevitably out in front of you that think they're only comfortable at 20 on an interstate. And so they all of a sudden they have a whole parade of cars behind them. And for some reason, nobody behind them, aside from you, or perhaps it's just me, maybe I'm the stupid one, thinks to themselves, I can go around this guy. So I pull out in that lane where there's never been a car, and there's no path broken. Actually, that's not true. This morning I pulled out behind a truck who I said, he's breaking the path for me, right? Well, his base of his tires were much wider than mine, so it really made no difference. But I pulled out there. That was what I told Shauna to reassure her that we were totally safe. And we pulled out behind that vehicle, and we're traveling down at a higher rate of speed, and we're flying by cars, which, you know, when it's kind of scary driving situations, makes you a little more nervous. But, of course, I wasn't going to show that either. And Shauna's like, do you really think we should be passing? Oh, yeah, no problem, no worries, right? And we got by all those cars, thankfully, safely. And we didn't run into another vehicle until closer to about Mountain Home, but Boise State Stop, the fireworks thing that's out there, if you've ever driven that way, right? And then we ran into a trucker. Now, on normal roads, passing a truck can be a little bit scary, right? I mean, and because for some reason, I think, and no offense to any of you who've ever been a trucker or maybe you currently are a trucker, but for some reason, they get behind that truck that they know pretty much can go through a brick wall, and they're not really concerned about the little tin can next to them. I know that's not true. I know they actually care. But we started passing a trucker, and for some reason, I guess because I was going at a higher rate of speed in a scarier lane, he figured, well, his lane must be safer. So he continued to increase speed, too. Until finally I thought, okay, obviously this guy's going to start going faster now. So I backed off, got behind him again. Then he slowed down again. I'm like, okay, so I pull out again and try it again. And he picks up speed again. And I'm just, okay, this is ridiculous, right? And I kind of felt like that Chevy Chase moment for those of you who have ever seen Christmas Vacation, right? Not that I'm necessarily encouraging this as a show you should watch, okay? But if you've ever seen that Chevy Chase moment when he pulls out next to that big truck, he's like, I'm just getting around this guy, honey. You know, and I'm just like really getting on it, right? And the old thing, he's getting on it too, right? Well, I got more than you and I'm smaller. I'm going to go, you know? And finally, it wasn't until I looked down and I realized I was doing 80 on snowy roads to pass a truck that I thought to myself, wow, you're an idiot. But luckily, I thought to myself, I'm already 3/4 of the way past him. Let's go. So I kept going and I got past the gentleman. And then here's the worst part. And I know I'm addicted to coffee. Okay. I can admit that freely. But as we got closer to actually Jerome, and I was thinking, I really need coffee about now. There was one thought that kept me almost from getting coffee. Almost. And that was that this guy was going to somehow get by me again. And I was going to have to pass him somewhere down the road again. But I chanced it, we got off, we got coffee, everybody was happy. And if we ran into that gentleman again, he had come to his senses by that point and allowed us to pass him, and I didn't notice it. But as we are passing him at that high rate of speed, this morning's message came to my mind. Because as we were getting past him, and we pulled over into that lane, the safe lane, if you would, it was like all of a sudden, all that tension and everything that was holding my back and on the steering wheel and my lips just kind of went away. You know, I was able to slow back down a little bit, get into a reasonable speed on a safer lane. It actually really kind of brought rest to me, didn't it? It was like a relaxation moment. Now, I know each one of us had an experience similar to that, where you've just gotten to that point where you're just like, and it just kind of falls off. This is the rest I want to talk to you about this morning. Because this is the rest that we as believers can freely enjoy every moment of our life. If you look at verse 1 with me, the writer there says, "Let us therefore fear." Now, that's not a fear as in like leading to panic, like when you're passing a vehicle at high rates of speed when you shouldn't be. That's not that kind of fear. This fear is more of an urgency. Let's have an urgency about us, if you would. Lest we be left off from any of the promises of entering into his rest. Now, we're going to get into the gospel here in a minute. And as I look around this room, and I've had conversations with each one of you at different points, I'm pretty assured of the fact that most everybody in this room is saved. But I learned years ago never to assume that situation. Because I had served with men, even in the ministry, who finally came to me and said they needed to be saved. So I never make that presumption. Now, this morning's message is not going to be all about a gospel presentation, although it is going to have some elements of it. But he tells us that we could come short of a rest that he offers us. Now, that could be two areas. For those of us who are saved, that could be short of that rest that he wants to give to you and I at every moment. Because we don't fully understand what it is that's been done for us. And honestly, I don't think we'll ever fully understand until we enter into his kingdom what has been done for us. But there's also that rest, and I'm going to speak to this group first, of those of you who may not be positive that if you were to die today, you would enter into the kingdom. And that is the rest that sets up all of the other rest, if I can put it that way. So, as it says there in verse 2, it says, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Now, let me say here on the onset, believer in this room, I am not asking you to question your salvation this morning. If you've placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his completed work on the cross, and you settled that matter, whether you were 3 or whether you were 43 or 93, it's settled. That work had nothing to do with you other than placing your faith there. But if you happen to be somebody who's not sure, I want to talk to you for just a moment about this rest. Because there is a rest. A rest, as it will say later on in this chapter, that the Lord experienced on the seventh day when the work was completed in his life. He was done creating. There is a rest that goes beyond any understanding. It is a rest that when we're faced with tragedy and when we're faced with difficulties, gets us through. It's a rest that comes only through the knowledge that your life is secure in him. So, if you are a believer this morning, maybe take this moment to write down some notes, lest the Lord should ever call to share the gospel with you. Or maybe take this moment and be reassured of your salvation. And if you're an unbeliever, this next part of this message is for you. There is a gospel. Gospel simply means good news. Here is the good news. The good news is this. And we find it in verse 3 where it says, "For we which have believed do enter into rest." I remember as an unbeliever, and I didn't get saved till later in life, and most of you guys know my testimony, you've heard parts of it at least. I didn't get saved till I was later in life. I wasn't born in a Christian home. I wasn't raised by Christian parents. But there's a rest that came when I finally gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was a rest that was unexplainable to anybody else around me. Because I was no longer worried about my labors. See, I had always been, honestly, and if I offend you at this next point, okay. All right? But I was always one of those people who was never so unintelligent as to believe that somehow I came from sludge. All right? Now, that doesn't mean that I believed in Jesus Christ as my Savior. But I just knew, I mean, I figured if a wristwatch can't make itself, there's no way I made myself. And so I never had a problem believing in a Creator. And all my life, I sought for the truth of a Creator. And who that Creator was. And when I came to that moment of who that Creator really was, I only had two choices. One, to reject it and go on in my own labors of trying to find. Or two, to accept it and enter into that rest. See, because unlike every other religion in the world, Christianity does not teach you you have to do anything. Every other major world religion you will run into, every other religion you will run into will teach you that this rest that you're seeking has something to do with you. Unlike Christianity, which says it is not about what you can do, but what's been done for you. And when I heard that, because I knew I was a wretch, I knew I was a sinner, I knew I was lost, and when I heard that, I realized at that moment, that was truth. Because I knew I couldn't save me. I wasn't good. I knew I couldn't save you because I wasn't good enough to save you. But then when I found out there was one who was good enough to save all of us, it was like a light went on. And you know what happened at that moment? It's exactly what it says in verse 3 here. That came mixed with faith. So what is the gospel? First question we have to answer, are you a sinner? And I'm just going to run us through this briefly, guys, because I want to spend the bulk of our time on something else. First question, are you a sinner? Have you missed the mark? There's nobody in this world, I think, who's being honest would tell themselves that they're not a sinner. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 through 25 says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace, through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Okay, so we're a sinner. How do we get saved? John 3:3 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If you go back and read that entire text, you'll find out he's speaking to a religious leader who thought he was okay until he met Jesus. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 5, we have, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless that ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and if I can interject this, according to the Scriptures, and then He rose again according to the Scriptures the third day. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether, this is out of John chapter 14, sorry, whither thou goest, how can we know the way? John, Jesus answers him and says in verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. Later in John chapter 6, verse 47, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I love that word believe there. We all know that verse, right, that says John 3:16. Most of us can quote it. If not, we've at least seen it at a football game somewhere. Right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Later in that same passage, just a verse later, two verses later, it says that you believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, That doesn't mean believing a name like when I introduced you to myself for the first time. I told you I was Brian and you believed me because ever since then I've responded to the name Brian. That means to believe in the name. That word name there means authority. Is he really who he said he was? John chapter 1, verses 12, 13 through 13 says, "But as many as received him, to him he gave them the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, for which were born, not of blood, not of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man." Okay, wait a minute here. Those that believe that were born, what? Not because of what how they were born in blood, not because of what they want to do, and not because some man, but because of God. Romans chapter 3, verses 20 through 28 says this, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believes in Jesus. Whereas boasting then is excluded by what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." So, that would bring us in a brief synopsis, the conclusion of our gospel presentation. Are you a sinner? Do you believe Jesus died for your sins and rose again? And would you like to receive Jesus as your Savior? And if you are here this morning and you've never settled that issue, you can take a moment and settle that right now where you're sitting at. All you have to do is simply bow your head and accept the work, the completed work, the finished work for your sins that were laid upon the cross for the Lord, from the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't feel comfortable doing that alone and you want to talk to myself or perhaps Mr. Murray or one of our trustees, Brother Ronk or Brother Enriquez later on, we'd gladly share with you more about that and pray with you. But I'm going to go forward from this point assuming that each one of you has made that decision already. And with that decision came something that most of us recognize the first time and somewhere in our walk with God have forgot about. And that is rest. We can rest from our labors. We can rest from our works. We can rest from, now don't get me wrong, that doesn't mean rest in the sense that you don't get to go out there and share the gospel if the Lord should call you to do so. That doesn't mean you don't get to rest in the sense that you can sit at home and go, okay, I'm quitting my job, I'm done, I'm retired, I got saved today. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. I am saying you get to rest. We get. Because there's nothing more we have to do. Everything else, if you would, to use an older saying, or a saying at least in my family, is gravy. Right? We all hopefully like mashed potatoes in here. We live in Idaho. Right? And maybe some of you are one of those people who likes mashed potatoes without gravy. I personally am not. And the more gravy, the better. And it's not because I'm trying to cover up the mashed potatoes, but it's because it just enhances it, doesn't it? Right? Or maybe you're a whipped cream person. We'll use that as an example. Right? You like the whipped cream on top. Okay? It doesn't necessarily make it better. What it does is enhances what you already have. So this is the rest we're going to talk about now. This enhancement. This is what I want you, dear brother and sister, this morning to go away with this morning. Is that everything we do now, we can rest in the knowledge that it's done and perfected and taken care of by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No matter what tragedy, no matter what struggle, no matter what trial, no matter what difficulty may come our way, we can rest in it. It kind of reminds me of the idea, do you remember the story in the Gospels when they're going across the ocean again and Jesus is laying in the boat, right? And the storm is like raging like crazy outside. These were fishermen and they were scared. They'd spent their whole life on the Sea of Galilee, and they're going across this now, and the storm and the tempest is raising up, and they're getting nervous, thinking, this is it. We're done. Now, they decided at that moment, for some crazy reason, that they should wake everybody up who isn't panicked at that moment, who happened to be our Savior. And they go to our Savior and they say, wake up, don't you know we're about to die? If you happen to ever be traveling with me and we're about to die and I'm asleep, go ahead and leave me alone. Okay, just put that on the record right now. Okay? But they go to our Savior and they wake up, don't you know we're about to die? He wasn't worried about it. He was in rest. Why? Because he knew that his work was not completed here yet. He knew what his Father had sent him for. He knew what was yet to come. So why was he going to stress about some little boat being tossed about by the wind? He wasn't. So let me ask you, brother and sister, why are you worried about the cars being tossed around on the road? Why are you worried about the health issues? Why are you worried about, because you know what? It's settled. Your work will be done when it's done. Until it's done, the Lord's not taking you home. Don't worry about it. But when it is done, yay. Because we leave this mortal flesh, this fleshly house, which so easily stumbles us, whether it be with the temptation of sin or the ailments or whatever, you know, and it's funny actually. He'll probably never hear this message, and if he ever does, he'll be a believer by that point, and so he'll forgive me. My brother Israel, I mean, he's not my physical brother, but we grew up like brothers. He just recently was staying with us. And Israel started to experience some of those ailments that for some reason, as we get above 35, 36, closer to 40, those, you know, when you wake up and all of a sudden something hurts and you just don't know why, right? And you can't explain it. It's like I went to bed feeling fine. I was laying down in my nice, comfortable bed. Chandra didn't beat me in the middle of the night, and I yet woke up sore, right? And I don't know why that happens, but it does. But he started to experience these things. And I love my, and he's a couple months older than me. And I loved it because when he started sharing this with me, and he was sharing a physical ailment, and I said, uh-huh. He's like, oh, you had that too? Because he thought he was something special. He's kind of a little bit of a hypochondriac. And so he was kind of like, oh, this has got to be something serious. I'm like, no, you know what that's called, bud? Age. We're getting older. You know, we can't do the things we used to do when you were younger. Right? Sometimes, occasionally, I'll go out and I'll walk with Chandra when she does her run or something like that, or I might even jog for 10 paces, right? And so we'll get out there and we get done, and you know, I love watching my wife because she does all these cool fancy stretches, like she sits on the edge of a stair and her feet are like this, like touching her calves, and I'm like, okay, that just, no. And then, you know, and I'm sitting there, and so I'm like, well, I gotta stretch too, right? So I'll do something crazy, like bend down. First time I did that, I wasn't near anything. I bent down and stayed down. I was like, oh, this, yeah, that's lovely, honey. Yeah, let's do that every day. Right? Now I've learned, okay, if you've ever been out to my house, I have a ramp going up to the front of my house there, right? And I have a nice rail on each side. So I now use it because apparently I've somehow in the last couple of years become handicapped. And so now I bend down and I have something to pull me back up. Right? I mean, I figure, you know, it's still working out. I'm pulling my arm strength. I'm like, gosh! Right? You know, but it's because if I get down, I'm not getting back up. Because sometimes our flesh fails us. And your flesh will fail you. And it will fail you over and over and over again. But what won't fail you is the knowledge that you can rest in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to kind of skip over a couple of verses here. I'm going to read them, but I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on them. I want to kind of move on to something else here. Look at verse 6 with me, if you would, now, of our passage here in Hebrews chapter 4. He says, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter in then therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not, because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Excuse me. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Okay, I want to pause there for a second. This word remaineth is an awesome word. And I've totally moved way past my notes, so we're just going to go with what the Lord does now. Okay? But this word remaineth is an awesome word. It has with it the idea of totally being in a set, if I can put it that way. Okay? It carries with it a connotation of the fact that it's established. Okay? It's not going to move. There remains a rest for the people of God. Okay? It doesn't mean that there's something else we have to lay claim to, right? It means it's something that's there for us already. Now, it's up to us to choose to live that way. It's kind of like a promise, right? Recently, even in the past couple weeks, we've heard Pastor share out of Corinthians. And one of the things that I love that Pastor always shares is he always talks about how a gift is not a gift until it's received, right? And the same way, a promise is the same way, isn't it? A promise is not a promise, one, until it's said, and two, until it's kept, and three, until you receive it. He gives us a promise of rest. He gives us a promise of rest. Is he going to keep it? Yes. Are you going to receive it? I don't know. Because we can rest now. Now, yeah, there's that rest that we received when we became a believer and we know that our salvation is settled and we're going to heaven. That's not a problem. But there's that rest that he wants us to experience right now. That rest that would allow us to sleep in the front of the boat when the storm is raging. That's the rest he wants us in now. You know, guys, I have no doubts. And if any of you know me, you know I'm not a political person at all. Okay, so this is not a political statement. All right? I don't think this has anything to do with what man may be in office. I honestly believe this has to do with our nation being in sin. Okay? But I have no doubt that we are going about to face some of the most difficult, trying, economic, and honestly spiritual times this nation has ever seen. Lest we repent. I have no doubts about that. But what I get so frustrated with is when I get together with my brothers and sisters in Christ and they speak in a way that just is fearful, scared, panicky, upset, right? Making the plans to do whatever they're going to do, right? And you see it all the time on the news, right? We're going to succeed as a state, or we're going to do, you know, whatever. Okay? That's not where my rest lies. If my rest could lie in what man could do, I would have never needed Jesus Christ. My rest doesn't lie there. So I don't worry about if my boss comes in tomorrow and says, Brian, go home, you got no job. Now, don't get me wrong, it doesn't mean I wouldn't be upset. And it doesn't mean that I wouldn't have my moment of, oh, wow. Okay, really? Tell me you're joking. It doesn't mean I wouldn't have that moment either. But what it does mean is that just like he's always done for me my entire adult life since becoming a believer, I know he's going to take care of it. Because he has something better for me. And you know what? He's done it time and time again, but for some reason we forget about that, don't we? How many promises has he kept you? How many situations have you been in when you've like, oh man, I can't believe how the Lord worked that out. And less than 3 months later, you're panicked over the same situation or something similar to it. Because there's a rest. There's a rest. And I didn't mean to put a P on that. I have no idea why I did. Maybe I may have a new word. Resp. Okay? That means like rest with peace. Okay. Anyway. But there's a rest. There's a rest that remains for you and I. It's set. It's sturdy. It's foundational. Live it. My challenge for you and I this morning is let's live it. When the world's panicked because they have to buy health care now, let's know that it doesn't really matter because our health is taken care of by the one who really matters. When the world panics because there's a high rate of unemployment, Let's rest in the knowledge that our unemployment, if we're unemployed, only means that God can do some miraculous ways to take care of us. Let's rest in the knowledge that if there's men entering schools, shooting the innocent, if I could put it that way, we can rest in the knowledge that if a man was to enter into our sanctuary this morning to kill all of us, that we know where we're going when we die. Let's rest in that knowledge. Let's rest in the knowledge that Jesus Christ has done it all, and there's nothing more you and I need to do but to trust and to live with that rest. And he goes on to close out this section in verses 10 and 11. And he says, "For he that has entered into rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." Now I want you to see something there. This is very important, brother and sister. He says we could fall in after an example of unbelief. You and I can't go from being believers to unbelievers, but we sure can live like it. We can live like we have no hope. We can live like we have no rest. We can live like we don't have a Savior who paid it all. Or we can, as it says there in verse 10, enter into His. There's a very important word in there. His rest. Not my rest, not your rest, His rest. We can enter into that rest. We can have that issue settled with us. Because honestly, what is the worst thing that could happen to us? I beg to say, the worst thing the world thinks that can happen to you is death. And I beg to say, and differ with that idea, but in a lot of ways, by the way, let me preface this, I'm not encouraging you to kill yourself. But in a lot of ways, isn't that the best? To be absent from the body and present with the Lord? As Paul says in Hebrews chapter 12, turn over there real quick, actually, with me. No, actually, I'm going to read that one to you guys. You guys turn to Matthew while I'm reading this. Matthew chapter 11. Paul says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with the patience that is the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind." And then he says this in Matthew chapter 11. Verses 28 through 30, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." That's our Savior speaking right there. And our Savior said to come unto him, those of us who are heavy laden, those of us who labor, and he will give us rest. If we put his yoke upon us, if we submit to him, we will find rest for our souls. And how is it that this rest can come about? Romans 8:28 says, and I'm just going to read verse 28 in particular in the interest of time here, guys. I intended to go through all of this. Romans 8:28 says this, "For we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." All things. Everything we're ever going to face works for our good. Now, if somebody passes away near and dear to you, it's hard to look at that moment and go, well, that's a good thing. If somebody loses their job or your spouse loses their job, it's hard to look at that and go, well, that's a good thing. If somebody falls ill, it's hard to look at that and go, well, that's a good thing. But actually, I want you to hear the verses that come prior to that verse 28. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it actually picks up at verse 26. And I want you to hear what he says. Just pay attention here for a second. The writer of Romans, Paul the Apostle, says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know that we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what the mind of the Spirit knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purposes. We have a dear sister who has fallen ill this last week to an infirmity. But look what it says there in verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That is our feebleness, our frailty, our diseases, our sicknesses, our weaknesses. That's rest. Knowing that the Spirit of God helps us in those moments. Knowing that the Spirit of God makes intercession. I'll be honest with you guys. I love to pray, and I think we should pray, and I encourage all of us to pray. And even pray for our infirmities and the infirmities of those around us. The weaknesses, the feeblenesses, the diseases, whatever it be, you pray for those things. But also rest in the knowledge that you're not praying alone, because the Spirit of God is making intercession as well. Let me put that in another way for you. God himself is asking himself to take care of this situation and to make it good. For clearly there is no reason for us not to have rest while we remain in this flesh. Because as I said already, when our mortal body fails us and we go home to be with the King, I love how Paul puts it this way. Paul recognizes this in Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 to 23. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether in life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For I am straight betwixt the two, having the desire to depart and to be absent with Christ, which is far better. What is the worst this world can offer? Is the best for a believer. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, full understanding. So, what is the real thing he instructs us here with? That we have a rest and a knowledge and secured for us in Christ. We can rest now because it's all been settled. It reminds me of that. And maybe we can change to sing this hymn. If Brother Cesar feels so inclined to. But it reminds me of that old hymn. Because he lives, well, it's not too old. I guess the Gaither brother did it, right? Because he lives, right? I can face tomorrow. That's rest. It's because of him we go on. And we have rest. So let's go out of here. Let's continue to pray. Let's continue to align ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's go out and live a life that has a victory that is displayed through how we rest in the troubled times.
Thank you for studying God's Word with us on Walk in the Spirit. To hear more of this or other portions of Scripture, please visit www.PocatelloBaptistChurch.com or you can write us at 190 West Chapel Road, Pocatello, Idaho, 83201. If you live in or are visiting Southeast Idaho, we would like you to join us here at Pocatello Baptist Church for any of our services. Our service times begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m., Sunday worship at 10 a.m., and Sunday evening study at 5 p.m. We have a midweek study and prayer service for both adults and youth on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Child care is available for all our services. For more information or directions, please call us at 208-237-4915. Until next time, God bless you as you walk in the Spirit.